Welcome to the New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message.
I know you could go for a long time. You got 45 minutes. So I'm gonna put my timer on. You know, I got this from my pastor. He puts his timer on in the beginning. And so I'm going to be obedient and do the same thing. But if the Spirit of the Lord should say keep going, I'm going to keep going. Amen. The Bible says be ready what? In season and out of season. Praise the Lord. Stay ready. Praise the Lord. We know that the theme scripture for this conference is 2 Corinthians 3:17. And it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Amen. There is liberty. And so the title of this conference is Deliverance, Freedom, and Liberty. And I began to think about that thing and meditate on that thing. And I was like, God, what kind of example can I give the people to display that in our everyday lives? And what came to me was somebody who is coming into adulthood and they're getting ready to move out of their parents' house. Right? They're just ready to go, because in moving out, they're thinking, man, I got a lot of freedom now. There's so many liberties that I have that I didn't have when I was in their household, because I had to abide by their rules. And for some people who didn't have a good relationship with their parents, they may even think this is deliverance because I get to go, right? But in thinking about that, I thought about the prodigal son. And he wanted to have his freedom. He wanted to take what was his and use his liberty and go do his thing. And he fell on his face out there all by himself, right? Because the Bible tells us that all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. Amen. And so the liberties and the freedoms and the deliverance that God has given us in our life, we want to make sure that we don't abuse those things. Because we can get far away from the Lord in a place where we have to be humbled until we come back to our senses and recognize, I need to go home. Amen. I need to be delivered from what I'm in right now and get back to where true freedom was and true liberty was under the covering. Amen. Amen. God is good. The message tonight is a real simple message. We've heard this in Christianese talk for years and years and years. Somebody say, let go.
Let go.
And let God.
Let God.
Say, let go. And let God.
Let God.
Amen. We have to place it in the Master's hands. And so I'm going to talk about that tonight and how that corresponds with being delivered and freedom and having liberty in Christ Jesus. Amen. You see, our fleshly nature in and of itself likes to be in control. We like to be in charge. We like to make the plans. We like to tell people, no, it should be this way. I got to have it like this. We like to hold on to stuff. I mean, we hold on to stuff in our closet that we haven't worn for 5, 10, 15 years, but we just don't want to let it go yet, right? We holding on. Somebody else could be blessed by that, and we holding on to that stuff. I want to tell you a little story. I had a friend who told me about this. He grew up and he learned how to fly planes. And he told me about something that's called pilot-induced turbulence. Now, my pastor, he works for Boeing's and he knows airplanes, so I know he knows something about this. What my friend told me was that In the beginning, most people who begin to fly a plane, when they grab what most people would think is a steering wheel, it's actually called a yoke. It's called a yoke. And what happens is, because they're new and they're excited and they're nervous, when they're in the air, they're squeezing the yoke real hard. And because they're holding the yoke so hard, the plane begins to have extreme turbulence because they're holding the yoke so hard. And so a pilot has to understand that you barely have to touch that yoke. You barely have to touch it. And so my point in telling you that story is sometimes we're holding on to stuff so tight that we're causing turbulence in our own life. It's some stuff that we just, I just can't let that go. And it's causing havoc in your life because that you got that yoke and it's got you bound and I can't let it go. But the Bible tells me, in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." To experience that in God, that lightness, that freedom, that liberty, you got to release that yoke. When a plane reaches the altitude that it wants to be on, the pilots put it on autopilot. Many of us need to experience Jesus as the pilot. Too many times we're trying to put all the pieces together, trying to figure it all out. And I'm not telling you this because I got it all together. You can only preach what you live, amen? You can only talk about what you've experienced or what you've seen others experience who are in your circle. My pastor, I remember Pastor Nate and Pastor Gary, I use a lot of examples from them because everything they say, I hold on to it. I remember my pastor said, people hold issues, you know what I'm saying? And if I were to grab, you know, this right here, just say this pen, and I'm like, God, I want to let it go. And you're like, I let it go. But then the next day, man, I ain't ready to let that thing go. I pick it back up again, and I'm holding on tight. And it's causing havoc in my life again, amen? So I want to talk about tonight 3 points that will help you to receive deliverance, to walk in freedom, and to experience true liberty in Christ Jesus. Amen? So point number one, somebody say surrender. 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 That's the first thing that we need to do. See, the title is Let Go and Let God. Place it in the master's hand. You have to fully surrender your will to receive deliverance in Christ Jesus. If we use Jesus as the example, before he was getting ready to do the great work on the cross, he was going through extremely. But he said, not my will, but your will be done. Amen. I give up my will for your will. I let go the way that I wanted to go. He was like, if this cup could be taken from me, take it, but not my will. Your will be done. So number one is surrender. And I looked up surrender. I like to look up the words that God gives me. And it's funny how God gives you stuff. I was driving last week and I said, okay, God, the conference is next week. I need to start getting ready. I was at the light, and soon as the light turned green, I got ready to turn. Bam. It just hit me. I was like, thank you, Lord. Here we go. It's on now. I love preparing a message because God speaks to you so clearly because his word is going to go forth, and it's not going to return void. Somebody's going to receive deliverance tonight, their freedom tonight, and they're going to be able to walk in liberty tonight. Amen. Surrender, the first definition says, to yield something to the possession or power of another. Deliver up, possession of, on demand, or under duress. To surrender the stolen goods to the police. And I thought about that. That last part where it said, surrender the stolen goods to the police. You know, when the police come and get you, they might tell you to freeze and do what? Put your hands what? Put your hands up. What does that signify? That's a sign of what? Surrender. Put your hands up. Amen. Come on now. I'm trying to give you the keys to get. I'm trying to give you the key. Put your hands up. And when it said the stolen goods, I thought about for those who have not yet received him and have chosen to walk in a lifestyle of sin or do their own thing, I want you to know something. You're stolen goods. And that's not something that I'm just making up. I'll go to the word. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Put your hands up. Honor God. Amen. Honor God. The second definition, it says to give oneself up as to the police, placed under arrest. So first they make you put your hands up, right? But then they're going to arrest you, right? And God said, tell the people tonight, there's some people in here that need to be arrested by God's love. Put your hands up and get arrested. Amen. Stop running. Stop running. Because you're going to run out of places to run. And you're still going to be facing the same issues. You got to let go and let God. Amen. The third definition says to give oneself up to some influence, course, emotion. The example says he surrendered himself to a life of hardship. I want you to understand that you're being influenced in one way or the other. There's somebody that's influencing your life. The Bible says be either hot or cold because lukewarm is what? Is spit out. Who are you being influenced by? Because if you're being influenced by the wrong crowd, they're stopping you from being arrested by God. They're stopping your surrender. When Jesus had a work to do, when Peter came to him and tried to stop, he said, get behind me, Satan. You cannot stop what I have to do. You can't say I'm living for God and be playing in the field. You haven't been arrested yet. I tell a lot of new Christians, it's not your job once you get saved to go right back into the world and try to go into the club and preach. And no, that's not for you to do. Because that world is going to suck you right back into it. You can't go to the bar where your friends are smoking and drinking and think, well, I don't do that no more. And then that scent hits you and, you know, oh, well, maybe if I just have one, you done open the door for the enemy again. Amen. Matthew 7:13-14, and I'm using a lot of scriptures tonight, but that's because the word is what has the power to break the yoke. Amen. The Bible says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. See, it's easy to go the wrong way. It's easy to just say, you know what? I'm just going to follow the crowd. I'm just going to wear what they wear. dance how they dance, listen to the music they listen to, spend my money on the things they spend their money on, watch what they watch. I'm just going to be a copycat. Not being who God really called you to be. A game changer. A motivator. Right? An influencer. The head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. Victorious. A champion. That's who God said we are. I say this when I wake up. I am a child of God, born again, filled of the Holy Spirit. I do not live by bread alone, but by every rhema word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You got to remind yourself of who you are. Or one day you'll look up and you'll forget. You're all in that mess holding on to all that stuff and you will lose yourself. And then you begin to ask, how did I even get here? Thank God for his grace and his mercy, amen. Because he's always with open arms. Praise the Lord. The fourth definition of surrender said, to give up, abandon, or relinquish. I would simply say, give it up. Abandon those former things. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? He's new. That old stuff has passed away. That's not who you are anymore. So stop flirting with it. Stop putting yourself in temptation's way. Many people, when the Bible says that the Lord will always make a way of escape, it doesn't mean that the temptation's not going to come. But I believe that way of escape is that small, still voice that tells you before you even get ready to move, nah, go the other way. But we're like, oh, was that me talking? We're not in tune. If you're not in tune with that voice, I'm telling you. I could tell you a couple times in my life where, man, I went the wrong way because I wasn't in tune with the Spirit of God. And the consequences we still have to deal with. The consequences we still have to deal with. Amen? But God is faithful. And he still loves you. And he'll make a new way for you. Amen? The fifth and final definition said to yield or resign an office or privilege in favor of another. I would say this. God's privileges are way better than the privileges of the world. And I know that I'm saying that, but you will never know that until you decide to experience that for yourself. I tell anybody, test God. What do you have to lose? What can you really lose? Nothing. Either he's real or he's not. But I guarantee if you test God, he'll prove himself. Why? He wants more than anything to get for you to know him on an intimate level. We were talking about worship. My pastor just got through saying this at Bible study on Wednesday. He was like, man, anytime you can get away to where it's quiet and you can spend time with God, take advantage of that time. Take advantage of that time. For me, it's in the morning after I get back from working out because I go work out early in the morning, work out at 5 a.m., my wife has gone to work. My uncle's out of the house, and it's quiet. And I believe it was Wednesday this week. I just laid on the bed for like an hour just talking to God and just thankful to be in his presence. I felt like I could breathe with you. I'm freeing you, God. And I just talked to him like a real conversation like I would have with Marquise. I'm just talking like, God, man, I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you that even though, you know, when I look at things, it doesn't look like how I want it, but man, I know you're making a way. You want more for me than I want for myself. Bring me up to where you are. Open my eyes so I can see what you see. Amen. That's what we got to ask God to do. Open my eyes so I can see. Remove the scales like you did for Paul. Paul was blinded. Got blinded on that Damascus road, and God had to send him somewhere for him to get his deliverance. Amen. For him to be able to get his sight corrected. Amen. But let me tell you something. What he did, though, when he received that from God, he wasn't playing no more. He got immediately on the Father's business. So much so to where everybody who knew the former knew Saul. They were like, is this for real? Because he's going real hard for God right now. This the same dude that has Stephen stoned. This the same one who was chasing us, putting us in prisons. And now all of a sudden he's preaching the gospel. A Pharisee, he had wisdom, he had knowledge. But when he started living for God, it became wisdom. Why? Because knowledge is not wisdom until it is applied. Amen. Surrender. We must understand that to fully surrender to God, you got to come clean. Oh, man. You got to come clean. You can't come to church in your pretty dress and your nice suit and, man, I'm a Christian too. Praise the Lord. That looks good. But you know you need to come to the altar. They asking anybody need prayer, you looking around. Man, God is saying, you know you need the prayer. Come clean. I can't deliver you until you. That's how God is. You can't make no deals with God. You can't make no side bets like, man, God, if, you know, I'll cry out to you once I get home. Now, God will, he'll do it because he's faithful. But I'm just saying sometimes we miss our moment because we don't put our hands up. We don't open our mouth. We don't get arrested by the love of God, who the Spirit was moving in that place. And because of your pride, it disabled you to surrender. You got to be honest. You can't lie to yourself. You could try, but you know what's real. You know your stuff that stinks. Look, I'm like this with God. Man, God, I know I got some ugly ways about me. He showed me too. Sometimes there's some stuff I want to say. God will say, be quiet. Don't say it. Sometimes I see something that should have been done, it wasn't done. God say, do it yourself. Lead by example. You got to be honest. You got to get it out in the open. The Bible tells us to confess our sins to one another. Now, I'm not saying you just run to everybody and tell your, you know, but your pastors and your leadership in your church, that's what they're there for. If you're in a church and you cannot trust your leadership, man, you need to find a place where God is telling you to be then. That must not be the right place, because I know where God placed me, I could trust them with my life. There's nothing they'll ask me to do that I wouldn't do. There's nothing that I know I could ask if I need them that they wouldn't do. And it's been proven through the years. Ooh, this is a good one. Stop trying to rationalize. We do that all the time. We're trying to make our mess. We're trying to make that the right way. It's not. I'm going to tell you a secret right now. There's many voices that will speak to your head. But God will speak to what? Your heart. You know it. But we're holding on so tight that I'm going to try to make this thing the right way. Because, see, you know, it's cool. Like, I'm just going to go there for, like, 5 minutes. And, I just want to see who's there. And then stop trying to make sense of it. That's not the right way. Amen? Another good one. Get rid of excuses. Get rid of excuses. We've all made them. Everybody. But as we get older and as we mature and as we grow in God, we have to learn how to recognize when we're in the wrong. Oh, man, that's an excuse I'm making. Oh, man, you know, churches, man, me and my brother Marquise, we're always trying to win souls. Because the Bible says he who wins souls is wise. So we're always trying to win souls. Somebody will be like, man, I can't go to, what time does your church start? Oh, my church start. It used to start at 1 o'clock. And when it started at 1, we was like, yeah, so, I mean, you can sleep in. You know what I'm saying? It's not too early. But then they be like, oh, I got something to do. They really talking about the football game. They got something to do. So I'd be like, oh, Sunday don't work. Man, my brother's church is on Saturday night. Oh, man, well, we got Bible study on Wednesday. Well, what'd you say? Oh, yeah, so we started a Bible study on the phone. Man, you can conference call in. The number's free. Oh, man, I'm going to call in. You can make any excuse you want. Amen. But at some point, you're going to have to face the truth if you want deliverance in your life. Break out of denial. You know, they all go together. We all see. It's all stuff that is an illusion that is stopping you from receiving the goodness of God. Yes. Three things I want to point out. Three fears that people have that stop them from surrendering to God. Number one is the fear of losing their reputation. We're so concerned about what people are going to think. I'm going to tell you something about me. On my birthday in 2004, I had invited my mom and my sister and my grandfather to come to church because I was going to sing. Thanks to Annis. I love Annis Faye. I mean, man, she put me to work quick in the church. And I was in the praise team. And I mean, she's the first person that encouraged me to write a song. She started writing this song called I'm Not the Same. And she said, you finish it. And I was like, here's what I went home. I was like, what do I know? I don't know enough about God to write a song. And you know what? She challenged me and I did it. And we would sing that song. And man, God would just move in the place. It was so beautiful. But on that day, I knew my family would come to hear me sing, but they didn't know me as a man of God. And so I was on the stage, and it was almost time to sing that song, and I was getting ready to sing. And I was like, man, God, but I wasn't putting my hands up. I was, you know what I'm saying? Not being who I really was, because I was afraid of how they would view me. And when I got ready to sing, God said to me, don't you sing that song until you say what I told you to say. And I was like, okay. And I began to say what God told me to say. And this is something that everybody needs for their deliverance, their freedom, and their liberty. I felt the power of God. When I surrendered how I felt, how I thought I was going to look, and I put my hands up and I said what he told me to say, I felt the Spirit of God come upon me, and I couldn't stand. I had to fall. And until you have that experience in your life, you're always going to question if God is real or not. You got to have an encounter with him. But it takes being honest. It takes telling the truth. It takes complete surrender. Amen. So fear of losing their reputation. Number two. Fear of losing our favorite sin. If you wasn't born into the church and lived it right all the way, you was a sinner. And there was something that was your choice sin. Maybe it was sex. Maybe it was drugs. Maybe it was pornography. Who knows what it was? But sometimes we're afraid because if I really give it all to God, I can't do that no more. Man, I know I can't sell drugs and make all this money if I come to God. I'm going to be broke and I don't want to be broke. So, man, I can't even get with you guys, man. Not yet. Maybe like 15 years down the road. Like what? The Bible tells us don't boast about tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. It may never come. When you hear that word and that seed is planted, you have to make a choice. I believe that's why a lot of people don't want to come to church, because it's going to make you be responsible for what you hear. Whether you do it or not, you're still responsible for the truth that's been put in you. And now you're going to pay the consequences. Simple as that. Why? Because God loves you enough to keep letting stuff happen in your life until it completely breaks you down. We talked about the prodigal son. He had to go get whooped up by life to recognize it was better in the house of God. Amen. And then number three, fear of losing our security. I told you we hold a lot of stuff tight. It was one of them characters on Charlie Brown. He always had a cover. He had to have that, Linus had to have that blanket. That was security. I don't know what that is in your life, but some of us, we have security blankets. But until you make God that security, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing in this world that's really secure. If you look at the world and everything that's going on, it's not secure. It changes from day to day. Wars and rumors of wars, financial. They talk about the governments getting ready to stop running. I mean, all kind of stuff is going on. It's not even their jobs is secure. They thought they had that cushion federal government job. Their job is getting ready to be suspended if something don't happen. And guess what? They're going to furlough them and still make them work for free. So I'm telling you, that ain't secure. They got to go to work and don't know how they're going to pay their bills. You better look to the hills from which cometh your help. Amen. You got to put it in the master's hands, but you got to know who he is to place that kind of trust in him. Amen. We hold on to so many things that we must let go and let God have his way in our lives. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. That scripture is not only just talking about be still so you can hear something, but be still and watch what he does. It's good to be still and listen. We need to listen for God. But sometimes God don't say nothing. What do you do when he's not saying nothing? Be still and know that he is God. He's still God. He's working on something. Don't get in the way. Amen. Let go and let God. Exodus 14:14 says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. God got your back. I wrote a song called I Got You. That's what God told me one time I was going through something in my life. He said, son, I got you. Stop worrying about it. The Bible tells us worrying ain't doing nothing. Not getting you no closer to your you know, the end thing of what you want. It's not helping you. You must surrender your ways and exchange your concept of what's right for what is right to God. See, there's a world right. There's a worldly right. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man. And in the end, it leads to what? To destruction, to death. There's a way that seems right to them. But we have to surrender that way for what's right to God. So we got to get in the word to know what's right. Amen. So I encourage you tonight, surrender to God's love. Surrender what? Your broken heart. There's people in here that got broken hearts. Your bitterness. Some people have done you wrong and you done hold on to that thing and let it fester until hate can be stirred up on the inside of you, to where every time you think about that situation, rage begins to boil up inside of you. You got to let that thing go. Surrender that thing to God's love. It's hard for God to penetrate all that stuff. Your confused mind. We know that God is not a God of confusion. So that's of the enemy when you're feeling confused all in your mind. Go to the word and get clarity. Receive that from God. Your failures. We beat ourselves up. God is ready to move on to the next thing. He was just trying to teach you a lesson to prepare you for what he's getting ready to do. And you still stuck on that past failure. God said, get up. Let's go. I was just teaching you. Let's keep moving. Give that to God. Those feelings of depression, give it up to him. If you're feeling depressed, say, God, I'm feeling depressed. Put your hands, I need you. Holy Spirit, help me. Give that thing up to God. Those little secret foxes in your life, my pastor talks about those. Those are the most dangerous ones. It's the little ones. It's not those big sins that, you know, it's so plain. It's that small stuff. You've been delivered from pornography, but now you just look at Sports Illustrated swimsuit. You're trying to, oh, I'm telling the truth. You just opening the door back up because they're not naked. They're not doing, no. It's easy. Them little foxes, they're trying to get you back. That blatant lifestyle of sin where you're just like, I'm just going to do my way. Okay. You're going to run into that brick wall. And I find that when people, they know about the truth, but they haven't submitted to it, they always know who to call when they really hit that wall. It could be 3 years. Hey, how you doing? Man, I need you to pray for me. Wow. I've been trying to get you to come to church for years. Submit that stuff to God. Amen. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. If you go seek the master, he's going to do something. He's a God of action. He doesn't play around. He's about business. Amen. Second point, you must pursue God. You got to pursue him. So you surrender to God. Now you got to go after him. Pursue God. What does pursue mean? It means to strive, to gain, to seek, to attain, or to accomplish an end, an object, or a purpose. Your pursuit of God has to be on purpose and intentional. It has to be on purpose. No matter how you feel, I'm going to church. I'm on purpose. I'm going to read my Bible on purpose. I'm going to pray on purpose. I'm not going to wait till I feel like it. I'm going to be on purpose. There's a lot of things we're on purpose. Man, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning so I could be to the gym at 5. And I rarely ever miss my workout. I got to be sick as a dog to miss my workout. I'm on purpose. But sometimes I have to check myself. Am I that on purpose about my Lord? Will I go as hard for him as I go when I'm hitting those weights? Will I sacrifice the pain that I feel in the gym? Will I go through that for him? Will I labor in the Lord on purpose? To carry on or continue a course of action, a train of thought, to study, pursue God. You got to be in your word. You got to meditate on those scriptures. My brother Marquise, he gave me my first Bible. And man, I love that Bible. Why? Because it was so fresh and I was reading it and everything was new. And I was just on an adventure with God. And I was like, God, I got to go from the beginning to the end because I want to know the whole story. And now that story's inside of me. Why? Because it's been years and I keep reading and I keep living it. And so it becomes who you are. I had a conversation with somebody one time. They said, well, can you just take the Bible out of our conversation? I said, if you take it out, I don't have nothing to say. That's all I got to say is the Bible. That's who I am. You got to study, to follow, to practice, to practice, to practice. Man, some people say practice makes perfect, but I say perfect practice makes perfect. Practice it the best. Don't go through the motions. I know sometimes it's hard, but keep moving forward and keep doing it. Ask God to stir up the desire in you to want to do it. Anybody who's been a Christian long enough knows there's going to be some days you don't want to, but you know you need to. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. When you're thirsty and you're hungry, man, you're going to find something to drink and you're going to get some food. Look, man, we got to go eat or it's going to be a problem. Right? We're going to figure it out. Psalm 42:1-2 says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go meet with you? When can I go? Man, when Pastor was saying, cherish that alone time you get with God. God, I'm with you. Thank you, God. Just me and you. Sometimes, you know, it's cool if you're praying in your car and all that, but even that's distractions. The noises, and I got to focus on the road and all that, but when I could just be in my room and there's no noise, maybe you might hear the birds chirp. You start to hear what God created and not all the noises in the world, and you could really hear God. That time is special. Pursuing God. Pursuing God. Proverbs 15:9 says, the Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue righteousness. Read his word so you can pursue his way. His way is the right way. Amen. I like to give examples of how we can really make this applicable to our lives. What does this look like? How do I pursue God? By reading the word. When you read the word, it's going to help you to recognize who you are. There's a song we sing, I know who I am, by Israel. I know who I am because I read the word. The word tells me who I am. I'm a mighty man of valor. I didn't say that. That's who God said I was. Amen. And you got to make the choice. Are you going to receive what he said about you? Or are you going to keep all this self-doubt and self-talk, negative talk and all that? I don't want no negative people by me. I'm a positive person. I'm upbeat. I'm a motivator. So it's like, man, get away from me with all that. I don't want to hear that. Because that's not what God's about. Amen. My pastor just talked about this at our men's stakeout. When you read your word, you recognize that you have power. Two kind of people in life, powerful people and pitiful people. You choose. But my pastor talked about two kinds of power. He talked about a power that's called dunamis power. And the dunamis power is like a brute force kind of power. Like, I'm in the building. I'm powerful. You don't want it with me. Amen. But the kind of power I want us to focus on is the power that's called exousia. And that power is authority. When you read the word, you will understand where God has given you authority. We can speak things into the atmosphere and it has to happen. We have authority, dominion over the enemy. Amen. But you don't know that if you don't read the word. If you're not pursuing God, you don't recognize those things. Amen. You got to pray. You got to pray. Why? Because that builds your intimate relationship with God when you pray. You got to pray by yourself. You got to pray corporately. The fellowship of the saints, the Bible says, do not forsake that. You need to come to church. I didn't say you should come to church. You need. I need to come to church. I can't go week to week on my own. I need some, man, I might be down this week. I need some people that's going to build me up. I need to see some people get touched by the Holy Spirit. I need to see somebody get saved. I need to praise and worship God until I get my breakthrough. Sometimes you can't do that by yourself. I'm not telling you don't practice your worship and all by yourself, because I sing to God in the shower everywhere. But man, I'm so thankful for the people of God. I love God's people. I love my pastors. I love Annis and Mr. Franklin. The pastors, man, they're important in my life. The things that I spent a lot of time with them when I first gave it all up to God. And the lessons they told me and things they taught me and my wife about marriage, it always sticks in my mind. Mr. Franklin said, oh, that's my time. But man, I don't want to be done. Praise the Lord. But he told me. He said, don't ever do nothing if you guys aren't on the same page. If you guys aren't in agreement, don't do it. Don't do it. You have to be on one accord. So me and my wife talk about everything to be on the same page. My brothers, we pray about our issues. They pray for me like it's his issues. When he gets blessed, I'm rejoicing. When I'm blessed, he's rejoicing. If I got it, he got it. I love the book of Acts. If you read the book of Acts, you will see how the church is supposed to respond to one another. The stuff you have ain't even for you. It's to be a blessing. God told me with my wife, if I take care of her, he'll take care of me. If we take care of our brothers and sisters in the Lord, God is faithful to take care of you. Amen. I'm going to move on through this. The last thing. Oh, I got to say this about pursuing. You could be a person of preference or conviction. A person of preference, it's all dependent upon how they feel or their circumstance. But a person of conviction is like, I'm going no matter what. I'm doing it. There is no going back for me. There's nothing to go back to. God has taken over. Amen. The last one, praise. You got to praise God. Psalm 150, 1-6 says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and the pipe. Praise him with the clash of the cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's what praise is about. With everything you got. Everything. Give it up. A lot of people praising a lot of stuff. They praising the Super Bowl. They praising Jay-Z. They praising Lil Wayne. They praising gay marriage. They praising so many things. But praise God that I woke up today in my right mind, able to think clearly. Able to make things happen. Yeah. Able to bless other people. Yeah. Able to love somebody. Yeah. Able to encourage somebody. Yeah. Amen. If it had not been for God, it's God who gave us the ability to do these things. And so we praise him for that. We ought to praise God for who he is and for what he does. Praising God for who he is called adoration. Sometimes your prayers don't need to be about you and what you want and need. God, you are great. You are awesome. You are mighty, God. You are my master. You're beautiful. You're so unique. Look at everything you do. It's all about him. We got a shirt that says it's all about Christ. It's all about him. Praising God for what he does is thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Amen. Come into the house of the Lord fired up. Like whoever gets next to me is about to get lit up because I'm on fire. They're not going to be able to stay all somber. They're going to get fired up because I'm going to be jumping. I'm going to be acting up. Why? Because I was acting up when I was out there. Why can't I act up for Jesus? My boy Andre got a song. He said, I'm a fool. I'm a fool for Jesus. Be a fool for Christ. Your praise brings you into God's presence, and in his presence there is peace. The pertinent question here is not how you feel, but are you willing? I'm going to speed it up. Your praise must be on purpose. You must learn how to praise God through your struggles and hard times. If you learn how to praise him when it's hard, you make it through anything. Amen. That's joy. It's not happiness. My pastor always says happiness is based on happenstance and circumstances. And if it's good, then you're happy. But if it's not, you're not. We have the joy of the Lord. That is our strength. I'm going to tell you a quick story about holding on to stuff. My pastor tells this story. There was a prominent businessman. And when his daughter was a little girl, he gave her a string of beads. And she loved those beads. She cherished those beads. I mean, she would never take them off. She just loved those beads that her daddy gave her. But as she grew up and was coming into womanhood, her daddy had to go on a business trip. And when he came back from that business trip, she was so excited that he was home. She came up to him and gave him a hug. And he said, I want the beads back. And she was distraught. She was like, but Daddy, I love these beads. You gave me those beads. They're special to me. And she didn't know he had one hand behind his back. But he put his hand out and he said, I want the beads back. And finally she surrendered. She took them off and stretched out her hand and placed them in his hand. And he took his other hand behind his back and gave her a string of pearls. My point is, don't let anything that you're holding on too tight to hinder you from the prize that God has for you. Because what God has for you is way better than what you're holding on to. Amen? God is a good God. He's a faithful God. But you say, everything in my life is messed up. I want you to remember three things. There's no morning without the night. Joy comes in the morning, amen. There's no morning without the night. There's no rainbow without the rain. And lastly, there's no testimony without a test. Let go and let God. Surrender to God. Pursue God. And praise God. Put your hands up and allow God to arrest you. Amen. Amen. God bless y'all tonight. Appreciate you for letting me run over. You know me, man.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it would impact you, that you would continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that He has called us to be.